Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Voices of Hope. This week on the podcast, we have Ella, Kate, and JT. They are sophomores at Castleview High School. They are here to show us how you could be friends even with people who differ from you from a political standpoint and just basic fundamental views. And so they're going to talk about the things they disagree on, but how their friendship still is the core of their relationship. Enjoy the conversation. Ella, Kate, JT, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to my office. Somebody said that you two, Ella, Kate, and JT, are good friends, but you disagree on many issues,
Yep.
And you like to talk about it.
That is correct.
Kind of something that bonds you in friendship.
You could say that.
Is debating and arguing your different opinions and beliefs. And so we've been talking a lot about at church lately, what does it mean to live with one another, even if you don't see things eye to eye? Just talk about how our culture right now feels like it's really polarized, that you either have to do this or that. And some people decide not to associate with others who believe differently than them. So this will be a fun topic to hear you two talk about and how it actually can bring you closer together as friends.
Yeah.
Politics is first. What is the rub there for you two? How do you guys fight or debate or discuss?
Like, I connect more with, like, liberal views and values, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want, like, everyone to be happy, and I just want to get along with everyone instead of, like, causing drama between people. Because I feel like sometimes Republicans do that. Like, with marriage and, like, passing laws on, like, marriage and stuff. And a lot of people, or, like, Republicans are usually the ones to start drama between, like, races or, like, different genders. And they're just the ones that kind of cause problems in, like, the news, I guess.
And so when you say that, can you give a specific example? Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, okay, a lot of things with Trump, like,
there we go.
Like, when he causes, when There's he's like, T-word. I'm going to build a wall, he kind of puts people, like, he feels like he's above people, I feel like. When he's talking like, I'm the best, America's the best, and if anyone else goes against America, they're the worst. Or they don't have the same views as me, they're the worst. Or they're not rich, you know? Like, I have all the power, I'm the president. And I feel like it also depends what news you watch. Because, like, some will be like, oh, my goodness, Trump says he's going to build a wall. He's going to destroy the relationship we have with Mexico and South America. And then other people are like, well, he's going to make us, he's going to protect us by not letting immigrants come in illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Or he also just has a lot of empty threats. Like, I'm going to build a wall, and doesn't build a wall. Or I'm gonna shut down all communication with the Middle East and doesn't do that, you know? He has the power to, or he thinks he has the power to, but then he doesn't do it.
So, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a second. But it sounds like when you talk about it, you're talking a lot about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would say Trump does not represent conservative values.
Correct.
Or necessarily sometimes the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So what about maybe specifically that for you, conservatism and the Republican Party, that what do you not like about that?
I think a lot of conservatives, they have, like, old values, I feel like. Like, don't like gay marriage, not necessarily feel like women shouldn't have, like, equal pay or equal rights, but it's kind of already in their head. Like, I feel like liberals are more lean towards, like, women's rights and, like, gay marriage and, like, accepting everyone. And Republicans are more, they want to, like, they don't necessarily want to create a rift, but they're less open to the idea of stuff like that.
Okay. So what I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just going to summarize what you said, is that you feel like maybe the more liberal politics are on the side of people rather than Republicans. It tends to not be on the side of people.
Yeah, I kind of think of, like, Republicans and, like, liberals and Democrats. It's, like, Republicans are from the South, you know? Like, my mom and parents are from the South, and everyone there is, like, Republican. And it's kind of, like, if you... Some people, if you've never been to, like, Georgia or Alabama, you go there, and it's, like, walking back in time. Because there's so much, like, cultural, like, issues there that you don't see. Like, you're in Colorado, you're in Castle Rock. Like, of course you're not going to see, like, racism as, like, bad as it is. Or, like... anti-gay and stuff because you're in Castle Rock and you're kind of like in a bubble because I mean Castle Rock there's not much diversity and it's more like everyone's a lot of people are middle class like white educated people and then when you go to like Alabama and there's so much like protest and like there's so much rifts like some people won't go to like a church because it's like a black church there's like a black church and like a white church and some people won't even like like, there's, like, different sides of town, and it's, like, you don't see that in Castle Rock.
Yeah. So then, out of your own experience of family in the South and going and visiting there, that's your perception, right? Yeah. JT, what's your side of this conversation?
I definitely lean more to the conservative side of the spectrum. I'm like Delicate. I believe... a lot of the things that Republicans tend to side with, and it's not, it's a bad perception, a bad thing to say that we don't want women's rights or we're against gays, because those are kind of, it's kind of taking one half the political spectrum and focusing on the beliefs of like one tenth of that side of the political spectrum. That's only far right people really have that perception of the world. So, yeah, I'm definitely more towards the side of, I like guns a lot. I think that they do have a place in society. And I don't think that the perception of Trump, of his presidency, has been really, what's the word? I guess it hasn't really been a good representation of Republicans as a whole. So I think talking about that would be great, just to spread that we're not all Trump. I promise. Like, Trump is a special dude. And I don't know anybody else who's like him, so. And I definitely like to say, Cummings, you said that Trump made an empty threat, I guess, where he said that he would build the wall, and he didn't.
Yeah, but there's already a wall there.
Trump didn't build the wall because he doesn't have all the power he wants. Mm-hmm. You realize that?
Yeah.
Because we have checks and balances in our government that ensure... yeah. That even though Trump made stupid promises like that, he can't do it. So your argument that he has all the power doesn't quite hold up.
Well, he doesn't have all the power. He thinks he has all the power.
I mean, you can think that you have all the power all you want, but the straight fact is that he doesn't.
So, is this something people talk a lot about in high school right now?
Okay, not or is it really, just you two? But in our, like, AP Human Geography class, I felt like the subject kind of got brought up a lot, because we were talking about, like, terrorism and, like, civil rights and things like that, how they're different in different parts of the world, and then we'd have, like, debates and stuff, and I could just tell, like, I would say something to the debate, and then JT would be like, I don't agree with that, like, at all. But also, I feel like in high school, a lot of people just don't know where they stand, or they're like, know what their parents stand
for. But they're figuring it out. So it's not like middle school where this wasn't a topic at all. Like in high school, you can definitely tell that people are starting to bring it up more and more as their beliefs get stronger and they do decide what they want to be and what they want to believe in. So,
like, we're taking world history right now, and so right now we're learning about, like, the ancient civilizations, so it's not really now, but now that we're moving into the, like, more recent stuff, like, the second half of, like, our book is just, like, recent history, so I think it's gonna come out a lot then, because it's gonna start, like, with the governments forming and, like, not just kings and queens.
Yeah, the democracy that was created. I think you guys talk a lot about, I have here... equal pay and women's rights. Why do you two argue about that?
I think we really argue about it because I see one side and then JT sees another side, whereas I see, like, the women's sides and, like, not being paid enough and not, like, getting equal pay and stuff, where JT sees, like, the side of, well, they don't, like, they don't get as much, like, they don't bring in as much money.
So
she goes through emotion, I go through business. I say that.
So what you're referring to is the example you gave before we started recording. What was that?
So the women's soccer team and the men's soccer team, the men's soccer team gets paid more money than the women's soccer team, but it's only because the men's soccer team, like, more people know about it, and they bring in, like, more ad money and, like, campaign money. But the men's soccer team lost to the worst team in, like, the world last year and didn't even make it to the World Cup. And the women's team just beat every single team in their group to qualify for the World Cup by at least 5 points. And that's, like, it makes me angry because I know that, yeah, the men's soccer team is, like, bringing in more money and stuff, but recently New Zealand, they passed a law where women athletes and men athletes have to get paid the same amount of money. And I think it's more, like, how our government is, like, how our world is shaping it, because it's, like, football, men's sports, and a lot of people don't know, like, about the women's sports or, like, the women's, like, form of, like, MLS and stuff, which is, like, soccer league. NWSL. And so they don't, it's like, I don't see commercials about the women's soccer team. I see commercials about the men's soccer team and, like, men's stuff, and I think if maybe they made more, like, they did more campaigns and stuff, then the women's soccer team would bring in more money, and so they'd be more open to paying the women more. But now, since the men's soccer team, they're making the more money, they're, like, going through campaigns, they're bringing in, they're, like, partnering with, like, companies and brands, and so that's why they're getting paid more. But
so for you, it's about the women's team is just as good, if not better, than the men's team. And you think they should get equal pay just on that merit alone, right? And JT, it sounds like you are more from the perspective of, it's just how the business works, how capitalism works, that there's more ad money coming from the men's one, right?
My favorite quote that I've heard is from Ben Shapiro, and it's, "Fats don't care about your feelings," which I agree with that big time, because if you look at it, the men's team brings in so much more money. And if you look at the commercial worth of the women's national team, the men's national team, the men's national team is exponentially higher. And you can't stream the sexist card on that, because 51% of the population is women. So it's not like the men are somehow controlling the soccer, the world of soccer, because only they're watching it, only they're contributing to it. It's, they've done something right to where more people know about them, they bring in more money, and I don't believe you can call sexism there. I don't believe that you can say that women deserve to be paid more just because the men's team has figured out how to make money.
See, I get that, because I get that, like, business people, they don't see the athletes, they see the money. It's like, they see the dollar signs, they don't care if you're a man or a woman. They see that you're bringing in money, and they want your money. So they want the person who makes the most money, and the men's team is making the most money. But I feel like on, like, a more, like, baseline, if a woman, like, for the game of soccer, for, like, being an athlete, I think they, like, if they get the same playing time, if you play the same minutes, I think you should get paid the same amount. Not, like, oh, you're doing more ads, so you get paid more, or, like, I guess your value, because, like, when you're an athlete, it's all in, like, your money, like, your worth, and so, like, you get paid more if you play more, or you play more because you get paid more, or, like, if you're worth more money, you're more of, like, a tool for, like, the coach or for the, like, you're, like, the face of the team, or you're the face of the sport. So, like, Alex Morgan's, like, the face of the women's team. And then, like, Christian Pulisic is the face of the men's team because they're, like, the best athletes and they're worth the most money. But also, if they're playing the same minutes, I think they should get paid the same amount.
Okay. Well, so let's move outside of the realm of sports, because sports, I think, can be a unique area because, who was it? NFL or NBA players, one of them is jealous of the other one in terms of how much they're making. I can't remember.
I'm assuming it's NBA's jealous of NFL. I'm assuming.
Something like that. And so then they start saying, well, why don't we get paid the same amount? And then people come in and say the same thing, like what JT was saying. Well, that they're bringing in more revenue. It's much popular. There's all kinds of money involved in it. What about just in a regular workplace? I think the statistics say that women get paid... I should really look it up. It's like...
Just Google it. Google it when in doubt.
But I don't want to get it wrong. Women bring home 80 cents for every dollar pocketed by a man.
Mm-hmm. So they get paid about 20% less.
Yeah.
Math.
Yeah. So before... Okay, so like a few years ago, I didn't really like care about the wage gap or anything. And I guess I still don't really like care about it as much, but I more care about like how women are treated in the workplace. Because a few years ago, my dad started working for a new company and stopped working for his dad. But my mom still works for her like father-in-law, so for my dad,
mm-hmm.
my grandpa. And so she got like a new role in the company, but then for like a solid year after she got that new role, the people would still email my, like, CC my dad on all the emails, like my dad's the boss of her. And eventually my grandpa just had to say, Tommy doesn't work here anymore, Tammy is the boss now. And so it's like I didn't really see how that affected people until like my mom was affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that was kind of like a really toxic place, because they still like, she goes up like once a week to like the job sites, and they still treat her as if like she has to be like supervised, like she's not the supervisor. Like, I guess it's more, it's not as much a problem with like the younger generation, but I feel like with my like mom's generation and older, it's just because they grew up believing that like women are the caretakers.
I have a very simple position on this, I guess you could say, is for me, if you can provide me the evidence, not just the headline on USA Today, but actual, like, I have to look more in depth. If you didn't provide me enough evidence to say that women in the workplace, on in a whole, not just in one industry, get paid less than men, I'm happy to stand alongside you and fight for equal rights if you don't already have them. But if I don't see those statistics, I have a hard time believing that that's true with all the laws that we've passed that say that women get paid equally. And I think that if a man does a job better than a woman, he should be paid more than the woman. If a woman does a job better than the man, she should get paid more than the man. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. I don't think that it should be as partisan as it is.
Yeah.
I'll say that's my position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think also with like men and women equal pay, it's more like women, you see women as the people who work in the jobs that get paid less. Like, when you think of, like, doctors and, like, brain surgeons, you think of men. When you think of, like, kindergarten teachers, you think of women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it, before I was, like, in, like, high school, I was like, oh my gosh, I have a boy teacher, mom. Like, because all my teachers were women, like, up to, like, middle school. And, like, all my siblings have, like, girl teachers. And, or it's, like, if you think of, like, a fireman, it's a man. Like, mm-hmm. you don't think of, like, fire women. You're like, it's a fireman or a policeman.
And when you get older into middle school and high school, you start to see mm-hmm. more men teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, when you think of a college professor, you usually think of a guy.
Hmm.
Like, when I think of a professor, I think of a man. Or I think of, and, like, in the government, too, when you think of, like, politics, you kind of think of men.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really think, oh, it's a woman president. Like, no, it's a man.
Do you blame that on sexism?
No, I think it's just, I think our society, like, before, like, all the civil rights movements and everything, it was so, like, cookie cutter. Like, the woman cooks the food, takes care of the kids, and the man goes and does politics and stuff. And before, I'd say before, like, the 1900s, women didn't even have a place in politics. So I think we're moving farther away from that ideal, but we're still some way, like, shaped in it. Like, mm-hmm. we haven't had a woman president or, like other countries have, but we haven't. And I think...
Get a good candidate.
Yeah, I think in the next, like, in, like, probably in the next few, like, presidential runs, there'll be more women, and eventually, like, a woman will be a president. But it's, like, I usually think of, like, especially on TV, too, you see mostly, like, men are in politics, men are police officers, men are, like, FBI agents or, like, doctors, and then women are, like, nurses or teachers, or they, like, stay home and take care of the kids. Like, they're a work-at-home mom.
So, and what you're saying is that there's a larger systemic issue
mm-hmm.
that can't necessarily... Well, let me ask this. If it's a systemic issue, Systemic issues, can passing laws fix it?
No. It's a choice. You go to college for one thing or another. You have to choose what you want your profession to be. A man, a big, strong man, can't come and tell you, oh, you have to be a little teacher. You have to. It's the woman's choice. You look at the statistics about who goes to college for what and who goes to college for something else. Men go to college for STEM and political careers far greater than women do. Women go into college hoping for a degree in public education much more than men do. You can't say that it's sexist. In STEM, it's not going to change anything because it's a choice. Nobody's forcing a career path on you, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yeah, I think it's what you grow up with. Like, my mom, grew up, or, her friends, grew up wanting to be a nurse, or I want to be a nurse, I want to be a teacher, I want to be this or that, I want to be, a secretary or something. You usually see, I think it's, because at a very young age, we're watching shows and stuff where the roles are, the gender roles are kind of, placed in your head, and they kind of, stick, and you can't, after, a certain age, you can't really change, the gender roles as quickly as you could when you were younger. Like, a lot of kids, now, they're growing up, they see a lot of, social media stuff, so they want to grow up and be, social media, whereas, a few years ago, a lot of kids were like, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a police officer, and it's more, at a young age, a lot of your life is, or what a lot of your beliefs are shaped at a young age, because, what your parents, or, what TV, or the media, sends to you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're proof that that's not the case.
Yeah.
Your parents, your family is conservative. And if you're saying that at a young age your values are shaped by your parents, then you would be conservative too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really play that card either, because yeah. I know several people who grew up in conservative families and are now liberal because they've developed mm-hmm. their own ideas outside of what their parents believed in.
Mm-hmm. It's also your environment.
Okay, so the last topic you two talk about, or like to talk about together, is guns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so in the last few years, it's more with school shootings and stuff, and especially with the Parkland stuff, because when it was going on, I wasn't really I wasn't the same age of those kids, so I didn't really understand. But these were high school students, mm-hmm. and most of the kids that died were me and JT's age, so it was imagine being those are your parents and you died, that would be crazy. So it's you don't think about it until it's, you in that situation. Mm-hmm. That could very well, be you.
Yeah.
And I think that sparked, a lot of things. Should teachers have guns to, protect the students? Or should, you be allowed to have guns? Or should you, have to have clear backpacks to go to school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's kind of like when 9/11 happened, airport security was heightened. Whereas, when this happened, now we have, security guards, at the doors. And, we're not allowed to let people in. The security guards have to let them in. And it's, security was heightened at schools to, make it safer. But it's, I feel like if guns weren't there, we wouldn't really have a problem. You can't kill 100 people with a knife. You can't go around and kill people with a knife, but with, a pistol or, a machine gun, you can kill, a whole school.
Machine guns are not legal for the public.
I know.
I'll say that right now.
But the person, he had, a rifle or something, a hunting weapon nope. to, kill people.
Which person, which...
The person in the Parkland, he didn't have, a little handgun that people carry around, to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. He had, a more, he had, a military weapon that was, used to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And, used to kill many people. And it's, maybe if we limited the weapons or, did more background checks, because this guy, had a lot of mental problems. And I'm sorry, but, if you have a lot of mental issues and you're not mentally stable, in yourself, I don't think you should have something that puts the lives of others at risk.
So you sound like you're talking a little bit about guns in the way of hunting guns versus guns that you don't use for hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think to own a gun, you have to have, you have to go through training and, you have to go through, a background check. And I think also you might have to, maybe evaluate the person to make sure they're, stable enough. Because I think if you have thoughts of, killing people, you shouldn't have a gun or anything that could kill someone.
All right, JT.
I encourage you, when you turn 18, to go to a gun store, say that you want a gun, and go through a background check. Because they are not simple. It takes a while. They have to send it to other people, get that approved, and only then can you get it done. So I don't think the problem is in the background checks. A lot of the shooters that we've seen in schools have gotten their guns either from the black market or from guns that have been passed on through the family, where you don't need a background check to get them, which you can say what you want about regulating that, but that's nearly impossible because the government can't control who in your family is giving you a gun or who on the black market is giving you a gun, because the black market's never going to go away. Sorry to say it, but it's not. And about, you said about the school shootings, about Parkland and stuff. Do you know what we have in our classrooms if there's an emergency?
No doors.
We have a button. We have a nice red button right by the front door to our classroom that somehow during a shooting, our teacher is expected to run across the room to the door that the shooter probably just came in, press the button, and then call for security, which will probably take another minute and 30 seconds while the shooter is shooting kids up. You have to have something different. Just having, maybe having guns in security, like in the hands of security officers, that's not going to do something unless the shooter decides to come straight through the front door with his gun out. Like, their children have to run to the classrooms with their gun to then stop them. So I think the most logical solution is to allow teachers, not force them to, but to give them the option to, if they want, have a concealed carry permit, go through training, and then have a gun in the classroom. Like, my dad, he's a pilot. And pilots now, after 9/11, they're allowed to have concealed carry permits and have guns in the cockpit. They have to go through training every single year to keep that certification up. They have to be certified by tests. They have to have people go with them in simulators to make sure that it's not open, that it's not obvious. They have to go through so much training to make sure that they're going to be safe with it, that if you give the teachers the same training, I don't think that there's that much worry or room for concern they're going to do something stupid with a gun against their students. It's going to, in my opinion, help prevent the number of school shootings, and if someone came into a classroom with a gun, the teacher would be able to whip out their firearm and take that threat down instead of going over and pressing a button waiting 2 minutes for security. So,
do you think that same type of training that your dad receives maybe should be the type of training all people that receive, that buy guns and get the background check, should also receive?
I do not believe so, no.
Okay.
Because most people are not charged with protecting a room full of young students who are trying to learn and become well-educated citizens.
I think that people should go through, like, a very intense training because, like, you have to go, like, to drive a car, you have to go through, like, 6 months of online, like, school, or you have to wait until you're 15 to get your permit, then you have to wait a year and, like, have a certain amount of driving hours, a certain amount of, like, classes, because when you drive a car, you put other people's lives at risk. So I think you should have, like, not as intensive as, like, getting your driver's license, but I think in order to get, like, a, like, gun license or, like, a hunting license, that you should go through, like, some type of training similar to that, because, like, I know that there is training like that, but I don't think everyone receives it.
I had to pass a hunter safety class before I could even apply for a hunting tag. And that's 2 days with live fire practice where you have 22 caliber rifles and you're shooting at a range to test your gun safety skills. So things like that exist. And the thing, I have two guns. I have a 12-gauge shotgun and I have a 30-30 Winchester rifle. And my parents trust me completely with it. I'm not allowed to have the gun, obviously, or the ammo, obviously, because that would be stupid. But they trust me enough to be responsible with it. And the thing is, 99% of other gun owners are like that. You don't have to be worried about the population taking a gun and attacking somebody else.
So you guys, I'm amazed that you two are talking about these important issues at the level you are. And I think the older you get and the more you learn about the world, the more complicated they do become. And the deeper you get into the issues and where money goes and what laws are prohibiting what, and there's a lot more to talk about with these issues. But why do you think you're still good friends, even though?
I think the things that we have in common on an everyday basis, Trump, God, I shouldn't have said that word. you know what I mean?
It's like, fine.
Are above the arguments that we can have politically, because, I mean, we live in a country where we're lucky that we're able to have political conversations where we differ on pretty much everything, but that we have the ability to do that and still be friends at the end of the day. So I think that it's a great example of how America is like that, where even though we're different, we can still be friends. And
Yeah, I think I learn things from what JT has to say, even though I might not agree with them. Like, I learn, like, his side, and then I feel like I become, my beliefs are shaped by, like, other people's beliefs around me. So, like, hearing someone's, like, opposite views of me, it kind of helps me, like, shape, like, opinions and, like, my own thoughts on those topics.
Yeah, it helps you be better at what you believe. Because if you didn't have anybody testing your beliefs, then...
Like, I can't have blinders on.
That doesn't really work, yeah.
Like, I can't be like a horse and just see, like, straight ahead of me. Because without, like, if I just have blinders on, you're never going to, like, change, and you're never going to really change anyone else either. Because if you just believe one single thing, you're not really going to be able to, like, get along in the world.
Yeah, it's you have to know both sides, otherwise you're screwed when you get to the real world and you're forced to be in situations where you have an impact on the government and politics and how society works, and you have the chance to vote. If you only believe one thing and can't, you aren't even open to the idea of something else, you're going to be a terrible citizen. So you need to have conversations with people, and you need to be able to express your opinions and still, at the end of the day, be friends instead of bitter enemies.
Well, good. What are you guys doing after this? Are you getting lunch, or are you have your own things going on?
I don't know.
I'm down for lunch.
Yeah, we might go to lunch.
It is 1 o'clock and I'm hungry.
Well, that is good.
And you just got back from soccer, so you're probably starving.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us and talk about these tough issues. I mean, I think for a lot of people, for some people, these issues you just don't talk about, and so it's very frustrating and scary when people do talk about it. So I appreciate your guys' courage to talk about it.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.